course you can. How intense and anointed was that? Just amazing. And I found another one where they did it in Hebrew, English, and Arabic. The three were singing. They had this guy singing the Hebrew rendition. They had someone singing in English, and then they had a girl there singing it in Arabic. And it was just so powerful. Just so good to see. And here, Gadol Ahoy. Isn't that good? I want to learn Hebrew now. Lexi already went that way, and she did that, which was amazing. So good. Bless God. You know, I've been amazed by the way God has led us over the past few weeks and so forth, and I shouldn't be, because we're totally in His hands, and what He has done and how He has done it has just been exciting, absolutely exciting. And even like the midweeks where we've been going through hearing God's voice, wow, that has been so intensely parallel with principles and with teaching us, not just in hearing God's voice, but the responsibilities of our changing ourselves to hear and what God is wanting to bring in our lives by hearing His voice. I think it's just been, it's been exciting. And then, of course, He's challenged us here on Sundays in the fruitfulness aspect. And going back, nearly 3 or 4 weeks ago, I don't know if we can find that. I'm sorry, Darren, I've thrown you in the deep end here. But the very first day I did on fruitfulness, I talked about Jesus being the vine and we're the branches. And how without me, you can do nothing. And how that how He wanted us to be fruitful in every good work. And all of those facets and aspects of things that I went through and we looked at applied so much in our everyday life. And it's not just the fruit of the Spirit. The kids upstairs at the moment are going through the fruit of the Spirit. And they're going through all the aspects and facets of what the fruit of the Spirit is. But we sometimes take that and think, well, okay, we've got the Spirit of God, but we don't let the fruit grow. Not always in those areas. You know, we want peace, but we want it now. We're not prepared to be long-suffering or patient. Or we want patience, and we want it now. That's crazy, you know. And we got to grow in those things. But then there's so many other facets and aspects of things that we've learned and looked at over that time that we need to look at as fruit in our lives. And God has really challenged me in some of those areas. What am I being fruitful in my daily life? Is my patience with others fruitful? Is my tolerance of people fruitful? Is my love for other people fruitful? And how am I reacting or overacting in some areas? Is it producing fruitfulness, or is it a hindrance to fruitfulness that we went through last week? There were things that we broke into groups and people talked about. What things hinder fruitfulness in our lives? And the bulk of them came back to similar things that hinder us from hearing God's voice in our lives. Where we are just so preoccupied with self and with things of this world and busyness, and we get caught up in the daily routines of things, and we don't stop and give God a moment. And it's been so amazing just in this past week especially. I've tested God out in some areas. God says, and I don't think this is wrong, He says, try me and prove me, says the Lord. So I'm going, well, okay, God, if this is an area you want me to be more fruitful in, and whatever, I need, you know, an aspect of my life to change in this area. How do you want me to respond? Whoa. Don't do that if you're not serious. God, He'll take you at your word. We take him at his word, and then we come along and we make all these rash promises. God, you know, we make all these, you know, New Year's resolutions, and we get all emotional in church, and God, I'll never do that again. And 5 minutes later, guess what? You walk outside and your tire's flat in your car. What happened to the fruit of the Spirit that was in the service? Well, you know, I remember a guy in Melton. I think I've told this story. He was a visiting speaker and he'd rented a car. No, that's right. He'd borrowed a friend's car. And he drove it to the meeting and he preached the meeting. And it was wonderful. And he came outside and there was some bricks and his wheels had gone. Now, I don't know if I'd have had the same grace this guy had, but he knelt down beside the car. He said, Father, you know who needed these wheels more than I did. Lord, I give them to them freely. Don't lay this to their charge. God, let them be blessed with those wheels. I don't think my life at that time would have worried too much about how blessing the person who took my wheels. But I was so touched by that. And I thought, wow, God, could I ever get to that stage? Am I there? Probably not. Probably not. But I would love to see my life develop in fruitfulness in a way that is so much more like Christ. And if we go to fix our eyes and turn our... In that second verse, boy, oh, melted. But if we're going to turn our eyes on Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, doesn't that fit the scripture that says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed? Are what? Changed. Do we want the change? Are we looking for the change? Are we actually believing God for that change and prepared to do that? Hearing God's voice is great. Sometimes he gives us direction and action and inspires us to do things, or there's protection because he tells us not to do a certain thing and we suddenly find if we had it would have been a disaster. He speaks to us about giving and encouraging and blessing others and meeting others' needs. He speaks to us about contacting friends. And I've forgotten how many times God has put someone on my heart and I have not made the effort to contact them straight away, and they've passed, gone, and left this life. It was only a few weeks back, Lexi and I think I told the story already, but I'll repeat it quickly. We're talking about friends that I went through Bible college with, and we were wondering how they were. We hadn't heard from them, we'd seen them for a while. Every now and then we used to get together, but with the way life's gone, you know, they've gone their way. Others that live all out the Bayswater side of town get together a bit and see each other. I'm this side of town and sort of haven't made the effort. We're thinking, I wonder how Hans is. You know, Dada had no idea he'd had a stroke, had no idea he was in a nursing home, and had no idea that he'd gone on to be with the Lord only a few weeks after I was thinking about him. I get a phone call, oh, we buried Hans yesterday. Like, what? Yeah, and I had them on my heart, in my thoughts, and didn't act. And it's so much easier to think of people. And I remember my father-in-law learned a lesson. He was, pastoring a church in Morley in Western Australia. And if God put someone on his heart, he was in the car and gone. He was there to pray for them, to see what he could do for them. How did you know I needed? You know, he was active instantly, you know. And then there were times when he would just say, I've got to pray for someone. What's the difference? Don't worry, I'll call them later. But he was sensitive to what God wanted in God's voice speaking to him. And I just... You know, put me on a failure rate of that one badly. Very, very sad. There are times when people come along and say, oh, I wonder how they're going. Lord, just bless them wherever they are. And it's a fleeting thought, but I really believe there's more to it. When God says something, he doesn't say something just for us to have a fleeting thought. He says something for us to act on it, to be serious. And I believe with this sort of training that God wants to take us through in our personal lives, we need to be more responsive. We need to be proactive. And we need to say, God, okay, whatever it takes, I'm ready, I'm prepared, and I will. That's not easy. How many times, I mean, a lot of you here haven't been in this church for long, but over the past few years, when I've prayed, you know, I've prayed and I've said, God, I thank you so much for your direction today. I thank you, Lord, for your protection. The Holy Spirit inspired me once to continue it on and said, and I thank you for your correction. Ouch. But are we prepared to respond to that? You know, it's quite easy to respond to God's direction and thank him for his protection. But correction is not so easy. And yet the thing of the Holy Spirit, he will teach us all things. And he will speak of the Lord Jesus with what Jesus said. If he's going to teach us things, we need to be disciples. Now, we can learn things. We can go to school and we become educated in certain things and we can be a learner. In a sense, every one of us are still learning. We are learners. But not all people and not all of us have been disciples. And a disciple starts with the word D-I-S-C, which is in discipline. It's a disciplined learner. So someone who dedicates themselves to a career in something like maybe medicine or music or other things like that, they discipline themselves to follow that training and they learn all that they can in that realm, and they are a disciple of medicine or a disciple of music or a disciple of IT technology or whatever it may be that a career path chooses. But the Lord Jesus said to us, go and make, not learners. We've got a lot of people in church that sit there, wonderful sermon, they are learners. But they are not disciples. They're not disciplined in their learning to put the correction into practice in their lives and to change. And if God, the Lord Jesus himself, said that you might be fruitful in every good work, he doesn't want us just to be haphazard in the things that we are, say, and do. He wants fruitfulness to develop in our lives. Man. So if we fail in some of the easy things, like God putting someone on our heart and we don't follow through with it, how's it going to be for us to succeed in some of the more challenging aspects of what God wants in our lives? When God speaks to us about our own personal attitudes, whew, she's right, Lord, leave me alone on that one. It definitely needs correcting. In our speech, we are taken with the words of our own mouth. How many times do you hear yourself saying something you wish you'd never said? You can't get it back. We need to be fruitful, not destructive in our speech. Whoa. We need to be godly. And God-like and Christ-like. And I know there's times when our speech brings correction and when we say things that Jesus was much the same. You know, my house shall be called a house of prayer. I don't think he said it with a, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But you've made it a den of thieves. Now, I can imagine him getting a little bit aggressive. You know, the gentle Jesus, meek and mild picture didn't fit that scene, I'm quite sure. You know, but there were other times, like a lamb to the slaughter. He bit his lip. He opened not his mouth. could have defended himself to the max. And that's a fruitful mouth. That's fruitful speaking. Whoa. Have we got that? Funny, not a hand went up. But it's needed. We need our attitudes corrected. We need our speech corrected, our actions corrected, our patience, our friendliness sometimes, our tolerance, our speech, our showing of care, our in honor preferring one another, our being gracious, and all the things that the Bible says about the one another from Romans on. And in some people, that's nice and easy. You know, we've got a rapport with some people, and that's so easy. But in other people, you know, oh, there's nobody here that's got people that rub them up the wrong way, I imagine. It's just, huh? I think we all have. But does the fruitfulness in every good work apply to them as well? It's not so easy. But that's when the discipled life, the disciplined life comes into play, where we are then able to say, I'm a representative of the King here. Oh, man. And I think we need to hear God's voice a lot more and know that fruitfulness represents our King in every good work. Amen? In every good work. Oh, but you know me, I've got that sort of temperament. Oh, yeah? Yeah, we've all got some sort of temperament. I'm a cleric, and clerics are usually fairly blunt and cold and cut and dried, and then Lexi's a phlegmatic, which is very gracious and giving. Some people are sanguines, like Peter was when, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build 3 altars. You know, and he gets all this exuberance that's, you know, the brain's not in gear and the sensitivity to God's not there. It's just, I want to do something. And let's, you know, this is my beloved son. Shut up and listen to him. That's the Australian version. But that's exactly, there's the correction coming in. Peter, control it, pull back. And then there's the sanguines. No, do I say, is he a sanguine? What's the other one? Phlegmatic. Sorry? Melancholies, yeah. They cruise along, coast along sort of thing. Hey? They're the emotional ones. Yeah, they get all emotional over things. But then their emotions need disciplining, led by the Spirit, correcting. So every aspect of that. Years ago, it was a big thing in the church when Tim LaHaye wrote a book, Spirit-Controlled Temperament. And everybody's assessing everybody's temperaments after that because they all wanted to know what everyone was. And then they, oh, well, I understand him because he's a sanguine. And I understand him because he's a melancholy. I don't know why that's a melancholy. I always think of fruits and vegetables and that one, but you know, but he's a phlegmatic, and he's a sanguine, and you get all of this, you know, and everybody was excusing everybody because of they understood temperaments. I don't think God excuses us because we have a certain temperament. He gave us a temperament because he wants that temperament led by his Spirit. And we're all part of one and part of another. You know, we've all got a bit of two at least. And so we can't excuse ourselves by our, well, that's just me. Of course it's just you, you clown. You need to be just Jesus. Huh? Is that right or not? Yeah, we can't blame anyone else or ourselves. We've still got to work out how we need to be Spirit-controlled in these areas and let fruitfulness flourish and develop. Amen? Wow. I don't know whether you've had too much over the last 3 or 4 weeks that's sort of penetrated the outer skin or the facades or the harshness. And I'll tell you what, but what has God challenged you on in any of these areas, either in hearing his voice on a Wednesday night or in developing fruitfulness on a Sunday, which is where we've been going? What is God saying? What is God challenging you or I on? But more importantly, are you listening, number one, and number two, responding? correctly. That's just so important for us to know that and to put that into our lives, because we really do need to ensure that we're prepared to take the necessary steps of response and obedience and allow the correction into our lives. We really do. And I find that that is just, everyone thinks God's going to do this. Lord, change me. No. Into what? If we're going to change, what do we need to be changed in? We need to follow what the word says. But we all with open face are changed. Okay, there's one scripture. You know, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, there's aspects of the scripture that gives us direction in changes and produces correction in changes. And we often don't want to apply that because we are not disciples. We're learners. Oh, I've got a great lot of, you know, there's people that can quote the Bible from cover to cover way better than I ever could. They've got verses coming out of verses. And I'm like, where does that one come from? You know, but where's the fruit? You know, it's in actual fact, it's quite sad sometimes, because that generates more knowledge and knowledge puffs up. Pride becomes a result and God resists the proud. That's serious. Serious stuff. We need to be sure that we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. He will lift us up. All that is so important in developing fruitfulness in our lives. And if we're going to have any form of response, we need to ask God for the wisdom to apply that response. Because wisdom is important in how we do things. And if we're not sure how, say, God, I'm at a loss here. And if we ask for wisdom and we're getting wisdom, then we need to say, God, now I need the understanding. I need the application. Lord, and I believe we can work and go through things that God is challenging us on and be successful at it. There's so many times I've been challenged in my life, and I know friends and others in churches have been challenged in things, and they're off like a bullet out of a gun, but the velocity tends to die after a little while. And eventually the bullet falls out of the air and hits the ground. You know, it can only travel so far under that one shot, and it can't pick up another shot and go again. But in God, I believe the velocity is us in our communication and in our relationship with Him that keeps it going. When God challenges on something, and people go through all these new, we're looking for the next wave of God. Why? What happened to the last one? Are you still living it? Are you still practicing it? Is it still real in your life? Or is it like the bullet's velocity, it's gone. Boom, now I need another. Lord, you know what? You know, oh, we've got to run here, we run there. Oh, there's something happening here. It's not the way it's meant to be. You can run and get on your knees and run to Him. The velocity will continue. Glory to God. It will. It will. And you know, it's taught me a lot over this last few weeks on being fruitfulness to ensure I maintain a listening heart and then a responsive heart and a right attitude. Because sometimes when you get corrected, it's easy to get a wrong attitude. Anyone ever notice that? Anyone corrected a kid and all they get's a wrong attitude? No, it must be just my kid. No, it's so true. And we've got to learn from that, because that's the way God needs to teach us, and our attitudes need to also then be developed in fruitfulness. Amen? Oh, I'm loving this. Get wisdom. Get understanding. You know, we did an exercise last week. We've still got 10 minutes. We've got pens and papers up there again, Kerry. Everyone needs a bit of paper and a pen. I'm going to challenge you to just spend a moment seeking God now and write three areas that He wants to challenge you in fruitfulness on. Just just before God. Say, Lord, what would you like to challenge me on to develop and change in? It might only be one, up to three. I'm not putting a hard word on you here. But then take these with you and take them before the Lord in prayer. And God, is that what you're saying to me now? What would you have me to do? Can you give me the wisdom? Can you give me the understanding? Lord God, to develop my life to be a life that walks well-pleasing in your sight, that I can be fruitful in every good work. I've already put mine down, otherwise I'd need about six pages, but no. But God is just so faithful, amen? I thought you were going to sing.
Yeah, I will.
You can, go.
While you're writing down, I'm going to give you some very uplifting news that God gave me this week. They say at the end of days, God will speak through visions and dreams.
Mm.
The young ones, if you sit here and you don't get visions, it's time to ask for it. Us oldies, we get dreams all the time. We ate meat, we do this, we do that. Not really. Every night Chris and I pray, we ask God for dreams, because when he speaks and I remember it, it is like it comes to pass all the time.
Mm.
The morning Chris had a heart feeling down on him this week, he woke up 5:30 in the morning, and I woke up with him, and then God put me to sleep. 6:00 I was gone. And I had a dream, a vivid dream. It has three parts. And it's encouraging for the body of Christ. I'm talking to us who walk and listen to Ken and the words and let God take his word and change us. And us work with God, not against God. If we get new knowledge, we deal with it. So the first picture God gave me was literally like these old photos, you know, raised at the side, you look at your old Nana and Papa's photos. But it had a bride in vivid white clothes. It was cut in half. On the left side, the bride, she was leaning into the bridegroom. She was white as, and the background, it was just shimmering white. The bridegroom on the other side was not black, and the photo was not in light. He was in dark military clothing, and he was marching to war. Now this is, you can say this is maybe because of the Ukraine. No, it's not about that. We are in a war. But we are also the bride of Christ, and there is a division coming, a definite division. But we must be ready. So we must have our clothes ready because the king is coming. So when the first picture disappears, God gives me another picture. A few weeks back, he talked to me about my personal family, about little, like a field where he showed me the field, and there were two graves, but they were had light on. And my brother was just diagnosed with cancer, and he had an operation, so I was encouraging him. But what it was it was a square block, and it was our field. We all have a field. You pray for family members. You pray for friends, workplace, the church. And God showed me clearly that the one side, he said two words to me. The men must rise up. That's the first one. And he gave my one brother-in-law's name to me, and I emailed him. So we, both of us, were working on the one side to close all the openings that anything. say it's a graveyard, but it wasn't a graveyard. It was dark where the, those who do not belong to the Lord, but those in the family who died in Christ had light on them. I do not know who they are, but the hope is, I said to him, we must just finish what God has given us.
Amen.
So this is where this comes from. So this second part of the dream is God. It's again a lot of like a boxed thing. I'm at the school, back at the school, and it is all this COVID thing is, and you know who I am. If you really know who I am, I can't be stuffed with any of that. So I was sitting in a room where they talk about these things, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to go to the kids, and I walk past teachers, and then I'm again in the quad, and the quad, I was lifted up by God, and I could see boxes of classrooms, and the lights and the kids worshipping the Lord, and I know God is working with the kids.
Mm.
And God sent us a video from kids about the work of God that God is doing at the school. So that's one, the other part. That is to encourage you as part of the body. Our work is not gone. The seeds we have sown is growing.
Mm.
It is working. He is working. It's
yes.
not us. We just walk in obedience. We deliver the word and we do. And then the third one, this is the exciting part. The king is coming. Unless you haven't noticed, the king is coming. We are on a highway. It's about 9 lanes. On the left, all Christians, we must be all the bride of Christ. We are walking and singing. I do not know who they are, but they are happy as. On the left side, I'm at the back here, and on the left side is a large wall like a stadium. Now, we live at Raken and Nets, and they've got beautiful pine trees. And suddenly I saw, in the dream, God, I lifted my face and I saw one of the pine tree tops broke off. And it was like floating in the air, but the air was like gray, like smoke, like dark clouds. And it's in the air. And I'm thinking, guys, you better watch out. This thing is going to come back and fall on one of you. And it did come back. And as I kept my eye on it, it's coming down. And suddenly it changes into this black, gooey thing. And I saw, and it comes down on the side of the stadium. And when I look at it, it was suddenly a crow, an ugly-looking black crow. And he looked me in the eyes, and his head was like this. And I said, you're not going to get me. And it's like he was sitting there, and I knew, if I take my eye off him now, he's going to get me. In the process, he came flying. He got up, and he came for me. But his neck became as long as. And with the help of God, God shows me, because the bride of Christ next to me, were excited. We must be excited. The king is coming. They were singing songs. I woke up with singing a song. But I took him by the neck. Guys, it's amazing. Keep your eyes on God. Because if things go wrong, he gives you the victory. And the scripture that came to you was the sword of the Spirit in my right hand. Because with my right hand, I didn't move my left hand. I took his neck and I worked him, I don't know how. With one hand, I lifted him around, I heard his neck crack and everything, and he turns black, and I showed you guys, and you were like, yay! And it's a roar, the church, the body of Christ, roared as I lifted it up. And then it was like the open, you know these huge doors when they open and you just walk in? Light, and the singing that broke out among the bride of Christ was deafening. And as then, I wake up as we walk through this huge thing. But it was on a highway. So I want to encourage you. This word about, and the singing, there was one line that says, the greatest romance. Our romance is not found on earth. He is the bridegroom.
Mm-hmm.
We are dressed in white. Guys, don't miss it on your clothes. Take the word at heart. Everything that Curious put in, everything that everyone of you, God sees it. He hears it. He's not dead. He changes it into gold. We must build with gold and silver. Let go of the wood and the stubble in your life. It is just to encourage you, Ken. 3 pictures, mate. I've got it, mate.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Oh, what do I do with that? I had my final notes, said that he's coming back for a bride without spot and wrinkle. And another scripture says, for the bride, listen to me in what we've talked about with fruitfulness and hearing God's voice and allowing our lives to develop. The bride made herself ready. The bride has made herself ready. She's got a heart to change. She's got a heart to be corrected. She's got a heart to hear God's voice. She's got a heart to be fruitful. Come on. Whew. And then the time will happen when the fruitful church and the Spirit and the bride. So job's done. Lord, you can come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Can I have these lights on back here, please, Darren? And you might need to turn my guitar up because I had nothing there earlier because the battery was flat. I'll let you play with that. And in light of what Krista just shared, you can all drop your jaws on the floor because it is closely related. The market place is empty. No more traffic in the streets. All the builders' tools are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labor. In the courtroom, no debate. Work on earth is all suspended as the king comes through the gate. All the railroad cars are empty as they rattle down the tracks. In the newsroom, no one watches as machines type thoughtless facts. All the planes veer off their courses. No one sits at the controls. For the king of all the ages comes to claim eternal souls. Oh, the king is coming, the king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. The king is coming, the king is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. Happy faces line the hallways, those whose lives have been redeemed. Broken homes that he has mended, those from prison he has freed. Little children and the aged, hand in hand, stand all aglow. Who were crippled, broken, ruined, clad in garments white as snow. Oh, the king is coming, yeah, the king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. The king is coming, the king is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. I can hear the chariots rumble. I can see the marching throng. The flurry of God's trumpet spells the end of sin and wrong.
Regal robes are now unfolded. Heaven's grandstand's all in place. Heaven's choir is now assembled and starts to sing Amazing Grace. Oh, the King is coming. Yeah, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. The King is coming. Oh yeah, the King is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. Praise God, he's coming for me. Coming for me. Whoa, Lord God. You know, and we're a fruitful church. We're a glorious church. You're going to get a chance to sing that to a much better rendition of it than what I could just do. You got that on there, Darren? It's two of the verses in a different format to Thy Sung Them. But here's the Statler Brothers plus Faithworks Christian Church standing on their feet to sing two verses of that same song and get that into your heart.
The word was the law, the blood was
right
grace.
Up, turn her up.
But there would be a day of no more blood sacrifices. One supreme sacrifice would serve all future generations. Isaiah said, "The Lord himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace."
Chariots rumble, I can see the marching throng, the flurry of God's trumpets spell the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfolding, heaven's grand stands all in place, heaven's choir is now assembled. Start to sing Amazing Grace. Oh, the King is coming. The King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming. The King coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. Happy faces line the hallways, those whose lives have been redeemed, broken homes that he has mended, those from prison he has freed. Little children and the aged, hand in hand stand all aglow, who were crippled, broken, ruined, clad in garments white as snow. For the King is coming. The King, just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming. The King is coming. Praise God, he's coming.
God. Whoa. I should have just played that, but I decided to sing the whole lot. Father God, we thank you so much. Your word is so sure and so true. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. You care for us so much. That you lead us, you guide us. But you change us as we surrender to you. And Father, today we all surrender afresh to you to be changed into that image from glory to glory. We pray, Lord, that every life here will be a life that's fruitful in every good work, that's fruitful in your kingdom, that's fruitful in this world, fruitful in their homes, and fruitful in every aspect of our own personal lives. And Father, I ask that in the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your direction, for your protection, and your correction in our lives. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Just quickly before you go.